A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. This is from the first letter of the Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse 6 and following. Learn from myself and Apollos, brothers, not to go beyond what is written, so that none of you will become inflated with pride in favor of one person over against another. Who confers distinction upon you? And what do you possess that you have not received? But if you have received it, why are you boasting as though you had not received it? If you are already satisfied, you've grown rich, you become kings without us. Indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we might also become kings with you. For as I see it, God has exhibited us as apostles, as the last of all, like people sentenced to death, since we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men alike. We are fools on Christ's account. But you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty, poorly clad, roughly treated. We wander about homeless, and we toil, working with our own hands. When ridiculed, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we respond gently. We have become like the world's rubbish, the scum of all, to this very moment. I am writing all this to you not to shame you, but to admonish you, my beloved children. Even if you should have countless guides in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Well, this morning I'd like to say a few words about this reading from the first letter of the Corinthians in the fourth chapter. And Paul is basically making a point here about the problem of personality, the kind of cult of personality that is not unknown certainly today, and obviously was not unknown in those days. It seems that one of the main problems among the Corinthians was that they had certain factions among them. Some were following this leader, this charismatic preacher, and that charismatic preacher. And they seem to have had divisions in their community over this, and it seemed to have been a matter of pride. Well, I follow so-and-so, who's the great teacher and preacher here, and someone said, well, I follow so-and-so, and there seems to have been some of this going on. We see this today in the church as well, as I'll explain in a minute. But notice how Paul begins. He basically says here, learn from myself and Apollos, who was a fellow preacher with Paul, an evangelist and preacher, probably also numbered among the apostles. I'm not sure about it. Sometimes Apollos is referred to as an apostle. As I say, that title apostle fell into disuse fairly quickly out of respect for the original band and was replaced by the term bishop, all right? But nevertheless, whether Apollos was an apostle or just a fellow preacher, we don't need to make this point here. But it says here, learn from myself and Apollos not to go beyond what is written, so that none of you will become inflated with pride in favor of one person over against another. Now, not to go beyond what is written. Now, in this case, I think that what immediately comes to mind here for us is the Scripture. Now, remember, though, of course, they didn't really have the New Testament at that time like we do today. So exactly what Paul means here is not exactly what we would have in front of us, namely the full, complete Bible with the Old Testament and the New Testament. So I think maybe more generically what we should say that Paul means here is the deposit of faith. All right, you see what I mean by that? The collection of teachings that have been entrusted to them by Paul and by their other teachers here who worked with Paul. Remember, Corinth was a large city, and so there were probably a number of different Christian communities in that city. So the deposit of faith. For us, we could say yes. The scriptures, including the New Testament and the teachings of the church that come to us from the apostolic tradition, the teachings of the catechism, and so on. So hold firm to these teachings and don't go beyond them. Now, what he means by this, I think, is that again, remember that this is what is your foundation. See, not the charismatic preacher who may come or go. We know in our Catholic churches, of course, we pastors come and go. We're transferred every number of years. I'm not a big fan of that notion, you know. But normally, after about 6 years, a pastor is kind of put on the list that he quote can be moved. Now, our current bishop, Archbishop Wuerl, he's basically said that he's not into terms. You know, it's time to move just because it's 6 years. But nevertheless, the bottom line is that we Catholic pastors move from time to time. Now, what happens, though, with some people is that they become very invested in the personality of the priest, maybe in this case the pastor. He's a good preacher, he's a good teacher, he's a compassionate, he buried my mother, you know, and he was really good about that. Or, you know, much becomes invested in the personality of the priest or the priests who are assigned to a parish. And if they get moved, many people find that this sort of shakes their faith. Now, I'm not saying it's a good thing to necessarily have someone we like and love, you know, taken from us, but it certainly isn't pleasant. But again, what Paul is basically saying, and the tradition of the church would say, is that it's not about the priest. It's about Christ who speaks through the priest. It is not about the priest, it's about the truth that he proclaims, you see. And that is unchanging. Christ never changes. There really is only one high priest, and he has, you know, someone such as me to represent him, to be, he ministers through me, he uses my voice and my hands, but in the end, it is Christ who ministers here, amen? Now, you see, the vision, is that this is really what Paul is getting at. But the problem is, again, some people become very focused on the personality of the priest. Now, this happens in these Protestant ecclesial communions as well, these Protestant churches, where they're very focused, again, on the personality of the minister. In fact, many of them, in fact, I find it amusing when I go to interfaith gatherings, people stand up and identify themselves. I'm so-and-so, and I'm a member of Faith Evangelical Church, Pastor Johnny Rogers, pastor. They always name their pastor along with the church that they belong to. And that's just almost unheard of in Catholic circles. We just never, someone will stand up and say, well, okay, I'm Jack, and I'm from Holy Comforter St. Cyprian parish, but you wouldn't go on to say Monsignor Charles Pope pastor. We just don't do that as Catholics, but it's amusing. But again, many are very proud of their pastors, and that's not evil or wrong, but it begins to edge, if you're not careful, into the wrong direction, where it's all about my pastor, the personality of the priest, and that priest could be taken in a day. That minister, that pastor in those Protestant denominations could be taken in a day. Maybe it's death, maybe there's just something that comes up. But in the end, if too much rests on the personality of the minister, then you see the danger is that one's faith becomes undermined, because it wasn't, say Paul puts it, based on what is written. It wasn't based on the true deposit of faith, which does not change. It was based on the personality, you see, of the minister or the priest. And this is a very subtle but sometimes dangerous thing. Now, I don't want to spend too much more time on that, except to say that, you see, this is what Paul is saying. Now, he goes on, therefore, to sort of ridicule is too strong a word, but to kind of joke with them a little bit about how they boast, you know, about the greatness of their preachers. He says, you are so satisfied. You've grown rich. You've become kings without us. Indeed, we wish that you had become kings so that we might become kings with you. They're running around boasting of their minister, one or their pastor, their preacher, or one against the other, you see, and becoming inflated with pride. Paul is, in effect, joking with them about this. Now, then he goes on to say, I want to tell you the mark of a true apostle, the mark of a true bishop, the mark of a true priest, the mark of a true minister among God's people. And that is that he loves them, that he serves them, you see. He says, he goes on here and says, I see that God has shown us forth as apostles as the last of all, you see. Like people sentenced to death, we become a spectacle to the world. We're fools for Christ's sake, you see. But look at you, you've become so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. We are held in honor, but you in disrepute. You are held in honor, but we are held in disrepute. And we go about hungry and thirsty, poorly clad, roughly treated. We wander about homeless and we toil, working with our own hands. We're ridiculed, but we bless. We endure, we're slandered against, and so on. And we become like rubbish and the scum of all, hated, you see, by the world. Now, again, the mark of a true servant among God's people. The mark of a true priest is that he loves and serves his people and is willing to speak the truth in love, you see. To not go beyond what is written, but to simply announce the truth of the gospel plainly and simply, to announce it and to in every way be willing to suffer on account of the word and suffer as a servant among the people of God. You see, I have been sent among you as your pastor, as one who is to serve, who is to suffer, sometimes on account of the word of God, to sometimes have to say things which aren't pleasant, to sometimes have to pull someone aside and rebuke them on account of their sin, to warn them that they might go to hell because they've been missing Mass, to warn them, you know, if I know they're involved in some serious sin. This is not easy work. This is hard, you see. Likewise, to stand in the pulpit sometimes and to preach sometimes powerfully and to be able to celebrate good things about God's Word, but sometimes also to have to break open a word that challenges us to true repentance, you see. And so the mark of a true priest and a true servant of God, and I ask your prayers for me and for every priest, is that we are willing, you see, to roll up our sleeves and to not go beyond what is written, but to announce what is written, to hand on the deposit of faith, to teach it, to preach it, to insist upon it, to suffer on account of it, and to serve the people of God by celebrating the sacraments and being with them in their moments of need. And so this is the mark of a true apostle, not a cult of personality. I've not been sent among you to be eloquent or to be good looking or to be rich or to be popular or famous. You see, that is not the purpose of a priest. That is not the purpose at all. But rather to humbly serve, you see. And that's, if anything will make me great, that's what makes me great. Simple, humble, quiet service, you see. And so Paul says, all this running around boasting about your preacher, your minister, your pastor, your priest is simply out of place. Rather, stick to what is written. Let the deposit of faith be your true source of stability, because priests and preachers will come and go, you see. But the word of God remains forever, and God never changes. And so this is to be our stability. This is to be our glory. And if there is any glory in me or any priest that serves here, it is simply this, that we humbly serve, that we do not go beyond what is written, that we announce what is written and taught by the church, and that we humbly serve. Amen.